So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 6, Creation of the Universal Form, Text Number 6.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hiranmaya.
Hiranmaya.
Sa. Purusha, Sahasra, Parivatsaran, Andakoshe, Uvasa, Apsu, Sarva, Stattva, Upabrimhita, Hiranmayasa Purushaha, Sahasra Parivatsaran, Andakosha Uvasapsu,
Andakosha Uvasapsu,
Sarvasatvo Prabrimhita,
Sarvasatvo Prabrimhita,
Hiranmaya Sa Purusha,
Hiranmaya Sa Purusha,
Sahasra Parivatsaran, Andakosha Uvasapsu,
Andakosha Uvasapsu,
Sarvasatvo Prabrimhita,
Sarvasatvo Prabrimhita,
Hiranmaya,
Hiranmaya,
the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who also assumes the Virat Rupa. Saha, he,
Vinch.
Purushaha,
Purushaha,
incarnation of Godhead,
incarnation of Godhead.
Sahasra,
one thousand.
Parivatsaran, celestial years.
Devas gadu.
Andakoshe.
Andakoshe.
Within the global universe.
Within the global universe.
Visa visuma.
Visa
visuma. Uvasa.
Uvasa.
Resided.
Ustureyas.
Apsu. On the water.
Uzudens.
Sarvasattva.
Sarvasattva,
all living entities, lying with him.
Visas dzīvās būtnes gulēja līdz ar viņu.
Upabrimhita, so spread,
tādā veidā izplatījušās.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The gigantic Virat Purusha, known as Hiranmaya, lived for 1,000 celestial years on the water of the universe, and all the living entities lay with him. Purport. After the Lord entered each and every universe as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, half of the universe was filled with water. The coddling manifestation of the planetary systems, outer space, etc., which are visible to us, and only one is only one half of the complete universe. Before the manifestation takes place, and after the entrance of Vishnu within the universe, there is a period of 1,000 celestial years. All the living entities injected within the womb of the Mahatattva are divided in all universes with the incarnation of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and all of them lie down with the Lord until Brahma is born. Brahma is the first living being within the universe, and from him all other demigods and living creatures are born. Manu is the original father of mankind, and therefore in Sanskrit, mankind is called Manushya. Humanity in different bodily qualities is distributed throughout the various planetary systems.
Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sajaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
We can only see half the universe. They have no idea what's in the bottom half. They are trying to know things through the method known as the ascending process. This is called in Sanskrit language Aroha Panta. Aroha Panta. So, through this Aroha Panta process, one tries to use his own sensory powers to perceive what is the reality. But because our senses are imperfect, we have a tendency to be illusioned. And because we have a tendency to be illusioned, we make so many mistakes. And in spite of all of these mistakes, we think, I am a very great learned scientist. With our imperfect senses, we cannot understand.
But ar nepilnīgām maņām mēs nesvarēsim to saprast.
As I was explaining the other day, Atakshi Krishna Nabadi Nabhavadgrayam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jivado Sayameva Sparatyadaha. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his many qualities, forms, etc.
Neviens nespēja saprast kunga pārpasaulīgo dabu, viņa īpašības un tā tālāk.
With his blunt, materially contaminated senses.
Ar savām trulējām piesārņotajām materiālajām maņām.
It simply is not possible.
Tas vienkārši nav iespējams.
Acinya kale, acinya kalu ye baba, na tang starkine yojiye. Prakritya param yachcha, yad acinyasya lakshanam. This is stated in the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva 5:22.
Mahabharata Bhishma Parva 5:22 ir teikts.
That one cannot understand, one who is within this material nature, cannot understand that which is beyond this material nature.
Un tas, kurš ir šajā materiālajā dabā, nevar saprast to, kas ir ārpus šīs materiālās dabas.
Therefore, his mundane scientific approach is useless.
Un tāpēc viņa šis te vienkāršais zinātniskais piegājiens ir bezjēdzīgs.
As long as you're within this material nature, you cannot perceive what is beyond this material nature.
Tu nevari apiekt to, kas ir ārpus tās.
Even as we see here, they can't even perceive accurately what is in the material nature.
Patiesībā viņi pat nevar apiekt to, kas ir šajā materiālajā dabā.
They don't even understand the material nature, what to speak of the spiritual nature.
Viņi nespēj saprast materiālo dabu, ko gan mēs varam runāt par garīgo dabu.
They want to negate that there is no spiritual nature.
Viņi vēlas noliekt, ka nav nekādas garīgās dabas.
But they don't even have a perfect knowledge of the material nature.
Bet viņiem pat nav pilnīgas zināšanas par materiālo dabu.
So we're not interested in these arohapantis, these ascending process people.
Un mūs neinteresē šie te arohapantis, tie cilvēki, kas cenšas atgūt kaut ko pa augšupējošo ceļu.
What will happen if you follow a blind man?
Un ja tu, kas notiek, ja jūs sekojat aklam cilvēkam?
He will fall in the ditch, and you will also fall in the ditch.
Viņš iekritīs grāvī, un jūs arī iekritīsiet grāvī.
It is called blind leading the blind.
Un to sauc aklais vada aklos.
So, we are not interested in becoming, finding ourselves in some ditch.
Un mēs neesam interesēti, ka mēs beigās nokļūstam kaut kādā grāvī.
We want to get out of this ditch.
Mēs vēlamies tikt ārā no šī grāvī.
What is that ditch?
Un kas ir šis grāvis?
Janma mrityu jaravyadi. That is the ditch. Birth, death, old age and disease.
Dzimšana, vecums, un slimības un nav.
If you follow the path of the mortal men, you will remain a mortal man.
Jūs sekosiet mirstīgi cilvēki ceļam, tad jūs paliksiet par mirstīgi cilvēki.
But if you will follow the path of the immortal men, you will become an immortal man.
If jūs sekosiet par nemirstīgi cilvēki ceļam, tad jūs paskatīsiet nemirstīgs.
So that is the path called Avarohapanta.
Un šis ceļš saucās Avarohapanta.
The descending process.
Lejupējošais process.
That knowledge which is carefully handed down from higher authorities.
Tas ceļš, tas ceļš, kas ir,
that knowledge which is carefully handed down by from higher authorities.
Tas zināšanas, kas tiek nodotas no lielākām autoritātēm, augstākām autoritātēm.
Sometimes if we hear the term higher authorities, we cringe, we think this is a horrible idea.
Dažkārt, kad mēs dzirdam augstākas autoritātes, mēs tā sarojamies, mums šķiet, tā ir priesmīga ideja.
At least that was my experience, I remember.
Es atceros, ka man tāda bija pieredze.
Before I came a devotee,
pirms es kļuvu par bhaktu,
I was visiting our center in Berkeley, California.
Un es apmeklēju centru Berklijā, Kalifornijā.
And one brahmachari, he said, we have to follow the higher authorities.
Viens brahmachari teica, mums ir jāseklo augstākām autoritātēm.
And I was thinking, ooh, how horrible. Because in the those days, the 60s, the youth culture, the hippie movement, our philosophy was don't trust anybody over 30.
Tāpēc, ka tajā laikā mēs tie cilvēki, kas bija šie hippie paules, mums bija saukts, neusticies nevienam, kas ir vecāks par 30 gadiem.
We completely rejected all authorities, you see.
Mēs pilnībā atraidījām jau kādas autoritātes.
We had a there was a popular poster of the president of the United States. It was Richard Nixon at the time.
Richards Nixon, tajā laikā bija Amerikas prezidents un bija ļoti populārs plakāts ar viņu.
And the poster said, "Would you buy a used car from this man?"
Un tas plakāts teica, vai jūs pirktu lietotu mašīnu šim cilvēkam?
Used car, you know?
Yeah, meaning,
would you buy a used car from this man?
From
him, yes.
Vai jūs pirktu lietotu mašīnu no šī cilvēka?
In other words, everybody knows the used car salesmen are very, very dishonest, you see.
Un citiem vārdiem sakot, bija tā ideja, ka lietotu mašīnu pārdevēji ir ļoti negodprātīgi.
So in our hippie movement, we were comparing the President of the United States with the used car salesman.
Mēs kā hippie salīdzinājām Amerikas prezidentu ar lietotu mašīnu tirgotāju.
We used to call him Tricky Dicky. So we were rejecting all authority, you see. And when this brahmachari said, we have to accept higher authorities, I went, what? And this guy is crazy. I couldn't understand where he was coming from, how he could say such a thing. But actually, that's a fact. If you find the actual authority, then you must accept. But to reject the bogus authorities, that is very good. So, back in the hippie movement, we did that. We rejected the bogus authorities. And those hippies who were intelligent, they accepted Prabhupada as their authority. Actually, Prabhupada said, the hippies are our best customers. Prabhupada said, I am turning the hippies into happies. We come to the temple one day with our long hair down to our shoulders and our big beards. The next day we'd be shaved up brahmacharis and dhotis, saffron dhotis.
Templī apaukuma gariem matiem līdz pat pleciem un ar bārdām nākamajā dienā mēs bijām gludi skūti un šafrāna dotī šērbi.
So we would, with long, long sikas.
Un mums bija ļoti, ļoti garas sikas.
Down to the shoulder. So this was the mercy of Prabhupada, you see.
Tā bija Prabhupāda žēlistība.
That he taught us how to accept higher authority.
Viņš mums iemācīja, kā pieņemt augstākas autoritātes.
Because when you can accept higher authority,
kāpēc, ka jūs varat pieņemt augstākas autoritātes,
then you can be liberated from this material existence.
Tad jūs varat saņemt atbrīvi no šīs materiālās eksistences.
Because there actually is a higher authority.
Kāpēc, ka tā ir augstāka autoritāte.
And that higher authority is the ultimate authority.
Un tā augstākā autoritāte ir visaugstākā, galējā autoritāte.
That is God.
Un tā ir Dievs.
But our hippie philosophy was, I'm God, you're God, we're all God.
Mūsu hippie filozofija bija, es esmu Dievs, tu esi Dievs, mēs visi esam Dievs.
But that's just atheism, really.
Bet tas patiesībā ir ateisms.
If I'm God and you're God and the dog in the street is God, then there is no God, there is no supreme being, you see.
Ja es esmu Dievs, tu esi Dievs, un sums uz ielas ir Dievs, tad nav augstākās personības, tad nav patiesībā Dievs.
So this Mayavadi philosophy, nothing but covered atheism, that's all it is.
Tas nav nekas cits, kā vienkārši slēpts ateisms.
So Prabhupada smashed this Mayavadi philosophy.
Un Prabhupada satrieca šo Mayavadi filozofiju.
I remember one of my godbrothers who was there, it was really lucky, one of the really lucky ones who was at 26 Second Avenue. Oh, you can imagine the nectar being in there. Wow. He said, Swamiji was always smashing these people called the Mayavadis.
He couldn't.
He couldn't figure out who are these Mayavadis. Never heard of them before. Maybe it's some rival sect in India, you know. But finally, this my god brother, he realized actually we are the Mayavadis. Because the hippie philosophy was Mayavadi philosophy, is it? Everyone's an incarnation of God. Actually, that was our philosophy. Everyone's an incarnation. So Prabhupada was so kind. He liberated us from this craziness. From this madness. From this insanity. That I am God. Is it? We're being taught that philosophy. I am God. And what a great deal we got, instead of I'm God, some, you know, conditioned soul thinking he's God, we got to meet the real God. We got to meet Krishna.
Un iedomājieties, cik brīnišķīga lieta notiek. Tā vietā, ka mēs domājam, ka es apstākļu ierobežotā dvēseli esmu Dievs, rezultātā mēs saņemām iespēju satikt īsto Dievu, Krišnu.
Prabhupāda introduced us to Krishna.
Prabhupāda iepazīstināja mums ar Krišnu.
The real God.
Ar īstu Dievu.
The one who is the source of everything.
To, kurš ir visas eksistences.
The one who is all beautiful.
Kurš ir visskaistākais.
All powerful.
Kurš visvarenākais.
Supremely renounced.
Kas ir galīgi augstākajai pakāpei atsacīts.
Unlimitedly rich.
Bezgalīgi bagāts.
Who knows everything.
Kurš zina visu.
And is the most famous superstar in the history of existence.
Kurš ir visslavenākā superzvaigzne vispār, kāda jebkad ir pastāvējusi.
Prabhupāda introduced us to that amazing person, Krishna.
Prabhupāda mums iepazīstināja ar šo brīnišķīgo personību, Krishna.
And told us how we could become an intimate, personal associate of Krishna.
Un viņš iemācīja mums, kā mēs varam kļūt par ļoti tuviem viņas.
Can you imagine that? That you can become an intimate, personal associate of Krishna. That's what Prabhupada gave us. The formula of how to go to sleep. The formula of how to go to sleep.
Formula, kā
and wake up in Goloka Vrindavan.
Formula, kā doties gulēt un pamosties Goloka Vrindavanā.
And your eternal rasa with Krishna.
Un jūs esat mūžīgs Krishna's biedrs.
You can even get to see what Mother Jashoda packed in Krishna's lunch bag this morning.
Jūs pat varat redzēt, ko Mama Jashoda šorīt ielika.
And you might even get to sample it. Is it? So this kind of amazing reality Prabhupada has brought us to. By Prabhupada's mercy, we have understood this material world is nothing more than a horror movie.
Pateicoties Prabhupādas žēlstībai, mēs sapratām, ka šī materiālā pasaule ir nekas vairāk kā vienkārši šausmu filma.
In which everyone must be tortured.
Kurā katru ir jāspīdzina.
By birth.
Kur tā spīdzinātāja ir dzimšana.
Death.
Nāve.
Old age.
Vecums.
And disease.
Slimības.
It's a torture chamber.
Un tas ir moku kambars.
Would you like to live in a torture chamber? Well, that's where you are right now. Prabhupada gave us the way out. He gave us a magic mantra, which will literally melt the walls of the torture chamber. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply dive deeply, deeply, deeply into this mantra. And the material energy will go away.
Materiālā enerģija aizies prom.
And in due course, you will see Krishna.
Un pēc kāda laika jūs ieraudzīsiet Krishna.
I found the most amazing instruction recently in the Veda base.
Es atradu nesen visbrīnišķīgāko norādījumu Veda base.
Actually, I love just kind of surfing the Veda base, you know, I love it. There's so much nectar in there. You just type in some word and you just go click, click, click to see all the different places. Oh, it's amazing what you can find. Much better than the internet. Surf the Veda base. So, I found an amazing instruction from
Prabhupada
about how to chant japa. I mean, I've been in ISKCON for 41 years and I have never heard anyone say this before. It was an amazing instruction. It was a letter to Balabhi Devi Dasi from
Prabhupada.
He instructed her that when you chant japa, Hare Krishna japa, the proper way to do it is you should feel the presence of Krishna. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. Okay, Prabhu, now it's your japa time. What is your duty now? You must feel the presence of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One may say, but how can I feel the presence of Krishna? He wouldn't want to be present with me. I mean, I'm really a creep.
Viņš negribētu būt manā klātbūtnē, būt es esmu šausmīgs.
I'm just a dirty, rotten creeper. How would Krishna want to be present with me?
Es vienkārši esmu pūstošs tāds gabals, kāds kāpēc, lai Krishna gribētu būt ar mani kopā.
But Krishna is so kind.
Bet Krishna ir tik laipns.
Even in the mouth of a dirty lecher.
Netīra mlečas mutē.
He will dance on the tongue of a dirty mlečā.
Viņš dejos uz šīs mēles.
Could you imagine a dirty mlečas tongue? How mūčī it is?
Netīra mlečas mēle, cik netīra, cik mūčī tas ir.
That's us.
Tas ir mēs.
Krishna agrees to dance on our tongue.
Krishna piekrīt dejot uz mūsu mēles.
Blessing us with his divine presence.
Un svētījot mūs ar savu dievišķo klātesamību.
But what if we can't feel his presence and we chant?
Bet ko vien, ja mēs nejūtam viņa klātesamību?
We don't have enough faith.
Ja mums nav pietiekošas ticības.
We're thinking of material sense gratification.
Ja mēs domājam par materiālo šo tiem mērnāšanu.
We're just too dull-headed.
Mēs vienkārši esam tik trūli.
But if we can't feel his presence?
Ko darīt, ja mēs nejūtam viņa klātesamību?
Then Prabhupada gave an instruction for those of us who can't feel his presence.
Un tad Prabhupada dod norādījumu tiem mums, kas nevar.
If you can't feel his presence, then fix your mind on the sound vibration.
Ja jūs nevarat just viņa klātesamību, tad nofiksējiet savu prātu uz skaņas vibrācijām.
It's actually really a revolutionary instruction by Prabhupada.
Patiesībā tā ir ļoti revolucionārs norādījums, ko Prabhupāda sniedz.
Just imagine how much you can revolutionize your chanting.
Iedomāties, kā jūs varat revolucionizēt jūs.
That every day for 1.5 to 2 hours you can actually learn to feel the presence of Krishna.
Katru dienu, pusotru līdz 2 stundas jūs varat mācīties, kā jūs Krishna klātesamību.
Do you think that if you felt Krishna's presence that you could be in anxiety about anything? Do you think that if you felt Krishna's presence you could be lusty? Or angry? Or greedy? Or insane? are illusioned or envious?
Vai ilūzijā vai skaudīgs?
No.
Nē.
If you actually feel Krishna's presence, then all of that junk will go away.
You just
be swimming in an ocean of nectar. There's not enough time, but there's a wonderful verse by Rupa Goswami. It talks about this, these oceans of nectar in the name. I want to leave some time for questions, so I don't want to get into that verse now.
But
I will get into that verse in a future lecture. It's the verse that Prabhupada told George Harrison he should turn into a popular song. So now I can ask if there's some question.
Question is, can we conclude that if one doesn't accept an instruction that comes from the higher authorities or from the guru, that actually in our heart we are mayavadis?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. You think you're the supreme. Therefore, you don't want to take instructions from anybody. But you know what you're doing? You're taking instructions from somebody. Some rascal known as your mind. If you don't take Krishna as your authority, you will take your mind as an authority. Someone has to study, who is a better authority, Krishna or my mind? If one analyzes, well, I've been accepting my mind as an authority for millions of lifetimes, and where has it gotten me? Another hellish birth in this material world. And if we study, what is the position of those who've accepted Krishna as the authority? They live eternal lives full of knowledge and full of bliss. So if one carefully studies the difference, one will say, why am I listening to my stupid mind? Bhajahure mana shrinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. My dear mind, stop all your nonsense. Just engage yourself in the service of the that beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj.
Lūdzu, iesaisti sevi kalpošanā Nanda Maharaja brīnišķīgiem dēliņiem.
Any other question?
Jau jautājumu. Kā vēseles nokļūst Garbhodakašai Vishnu ķermenī? How the souls get into Garbhodakašai Vishnu?
How what?
Souls. From the spiritual world, how souls get
how
into,
do they enter,
enter in, Garbhodakashaya Vishnu?
What's the physical or what is the actual technique of how the souls who fall from Goloka Vrindavan and the Vaikuntha realm enter into Garbhodakashaya Vishnu? You do not remember. But you've already experienced it.
But
I've never read any description in Prabhupada's books. So I'm not going to speculate. But each and every one of us here have been through them. We were in the pastimes of our Lord in the spiritual world. Like the little girl that wanted the moon. Or like Eve who wanted that forbidden apple. We were thinking, why I can't be the supreme enjoyer. So Krishna made an arrangement, we can go to a place where we can think, yes, I am the supreme enjoyer. But if you really like to know, become a pure devotee and then it will all be revealed to you. Because I've never seen any, I don't remember any description in Prabhupada's books. But if you become a pure devotee, Krishna can answer every question you have. No matter what it is, every single question, anything you want, Krishna will answer. So just become pure devotee. Okay, you had a question? Yeah, comment?
I was just thinking that when the living entity falls from the spiritual world, it doesn't immediately go into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, because Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, when annihilation happens, then all the living entities go to sleep in the
mind. Yeah. Well, the question would be, well, now this may not be applicable because the whole thing is beyond our conception, but what about, this is an interesting question, is this actually the way it is, that some living entities fall during the time when the universe is manifested and some fall when it's not manifested? It's interesting, is that how, I could ask a question. Do all the living entities, when they fall from the spiritual world, do they fall during the time when the universe is manifested, or when it's the material universes are manifested, or where they are unmanifested? And if they did fall at both times, if you know how they actually enter into their material bodies, etc., etc., would be different, because you can't directly enter the material body during the time of the non-manifestation. But you could during the time of the manifestation. It's an interesting thing, you know. What time did you fall, Prabhu? During the manifestation or the non-manifestation? It could be two different ways of entering the material world, depending on whether it's a manifestation or non-manifestation. It's kind of an interesting question. I have no idea what the answer is, but it's an interesting question. We have to squeeze it in. We got 60 seconds.
Why Balarama avoids places where Radharani is?
Why Balarama
avoids the places where Radharani is?
Where what is?
Radharani.
Radharani?
Radharani.
Yeah. Radharani?
Radharani, yeah.
Balarama avoids Radharani?
No. When Radha and Krishna are together,
yeah.
Why Balarama avoids that situation?
Well, I don't remember reading anything in the scriptures about this, but obviously, even if some guy has a girlfriend, you're not going to always hang around, you know, with his girlfriend. You know what I mean? Got to give him some privacy with his girlfriend, you know. There's a saying in English, two is a party and three is a crowd. So Balaram is very respectful of Krishna's relationship with Radharani. He gives him plenty of space to have his enjoyment with Radharani.
Viņam ir pietiekami daudz vietu, kur baudīt attiecības ar atrāni.
Balaram has his own gopis, he doesn't worry.
Balaram ir arī gopis, un viņš nestrausās par to.
Okay, we'll stop here. And we're over time, unless your temple president authorizes him. He nodded yes. Since you're one of the managers, I thought he might author. Okay, go ahead.
Объяснил, что и Баларама, и Ревати, они настолько признают глубоко Радхарани царицей Вриндавны, что и смирение, они вот такое положение.
It was a commentary about which Maharaj? Madhanithi Swami told about the temple, which is Balarama temple in Vrindavan, yeah? Dauji temple in Vrindavan.
Yeah, yeah.
That Balarama and his wife are so respectful to the position of Radharani in Vrindavan that they take that they are very
the deity of wife Revati.
The wife of Balaram.
Wife of Balaram, Revati.
They're not married. Balaram's not married. He may have a girlfriend. He's in Vrindavan. He's not in Dwarka mood. He's in Vrindavan mood.
But Balaram. There is a deity of Revati.
He has a wife? Never heard.
There is a deity of Revati.
Huh?
Yes, there's Revati.
Revati. Huh?
Yes, Revati.
She's a wife of Balaram? He got married?
That's how it is mentioned.
It's described as a wife?
Yes.
Balaram, we actually got married? I didn't.
That's why it's
really? Okay, I learn something every day. He's in the same mood as Krishna. I can't imagine. Of course, Krishna had some marriage. It was a marriage, you know, a Brajabasi type marriage with Radharani, but not formally married, you know what I mean? So
the point was that they are very respectful to the position of Radharani.
Yeah.
In Vrindavan.
Yeah, Radharani is very worshipable. Everyone. She's given the highest honor and respect by all the Brajabasis.
Yeah. Radharani saņem visaugstāko cieņu no Brajabasis.
Who can compare with Radharani? Who can compete with Radharani? She controls Krishna. Huh?
Chandravali and his party.
Chandravali tries, but she never quite makes it, you know. Sometimes she thinks she's making it with Krishna, but she never really makes it with Krishna. She's always has to play second fiddle to Radharani. They have the right wing gopis, Radharani's party, and Chandravali's party, the left wing gopis, you see, competing. But the right wingers always defeat the left wingers. Ultimately. Actually, everyone's happy to be defeated and let Radharani be the queen. Everyone's happy. Not that they're angry and frustrated and envious of Radharani. No, actually everyone's happy to be Chandravali is very happy to be defeated by Radharani, actually. But she competes with Radharani because it gives pleasure to Krishna to see two girls competing over him. So. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarsan Dasa Tikari Maharaj ki jai.